Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew. In chapter 6, in verses 9 and 10. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 9 and 10. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. And our subject this evening is praying kingdom prayers, praying kingdom prayers. Now, last time we were in our series on the Sermon on the Mount 2 weeks ago, we began looking at prayer. That is the subject that the Lord Jesus Christ has taken up in this chapter, in the first verses of this chapter. And the Lord makes a distinction between public and private prayer. Now, both public and private prayer, they're both permissible, they're both good, and both must be practiced. And the Lord's reasoning, the Lord's argumentation here, as it were, and counsel, is that if we pray in public, we must pray in private. You must have a private religious spiritual life as well as a public religious life. For example, if you are seen in public in a church worshiping God and praying to God, then you must also be seen in secret, as it were, by God, in your closet, worshiping God and praying to Him. If you only do it publicly, if you only worship in a church and pray in a church to be seen of men, and you never do it privately, well, that is hypocrisy. You're just doing it for show. And so the Lord Jesus Christ and the lessons that he is giving here is that your private life, your private spirituality must match your public spirituality. At least match it and even exceed it. Your private devotions to the Lord, your allegiance to the Lord, your love for the Lord in private must even go beyond your public. That is what the Lord is saying. That is more precious to the Lord because it is done in secret, in intimacy with Him. And so the Lord warns us about being hypocrites, those who were like the Pharisees. They loved to pray in public, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. But verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, verse 6, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. We must have that private spiritual life, that personal spiritual life. And then the Lord spoke about how we are not to use vain repetitions. And vain repetitions, well, we considered what that meant. Some people, it seems, or the heathen, well, they would pray to God as though God can only hear us if we speak very loudly, or if we repeat ourselves often enough, then God will hear us. Or if we use some special formula or incantation, then God will hear us. Vain repetitions. But the Lord Jesus Christ is saying we don't need to engage in any of that. We don't need to do that to be heard by God. Indeed, God knows what we have need of even before we bring these things to Him. That's what we see in verse 8. Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. You don't need to speak loudly to the heavens in order to get God to hear you. He already knows what is upon your heart. So we don't pray in that way. But prayer is essential. We still pray. We're commanded to pray countless times in the scriptures, in the New Testament, to pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that we abandon prayer completely. Prayer is essential, but there is a way in which we ought to pray. And this way is going to be revealed to us in the following verses, in those verses that are commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. Now, the Lord's Prayer, we must state from the very outset, this is a pattern for prayer. It's a pattern for prayer. It's not something that we simply repeat. Well, of course, the Lord has just spoken about not using vain repetitions. So this prayer is not simply something to be repeated word for word. It's a pattern for prayer. And well, we read from Luke's Gospel in our second scripture reading, and the Lord's Prayer, the pattern, the same pattern is included there. And that is included in a response to a request from the Lord's disciple. And well, the request was, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Not, Lord, teach us a prayer that we can repeat and repeat. It's teach us how to pray. Show us how to pray. When we are in private, when we are in our closets, as it were, what pattern ought we to adopt? How are we to pray? Teach us these things, because we need to be instructed by our Messiah, by our Savior. And so the Lord gives them this pattern. It's not to be repeated word for word. If it helps us, well, think of it as a series of headings, or maybe like an agenda. If you have a meeting, well, normally there's an agenda written up, the things that you are going to speak about. And of course, at the meeting, you don't just read the agenda and that's it. You look at the headings, you look at the various things. Well, we're going to speak about this, and then we're going to speak about this, then we're going to take this issue, then we're going to take this topic. You read the headings, and then you talk about them. And so this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is after the same pattern. You see the headings, Our Father which art in heaven, and then you pray. You see the heading, it reminds you what you ought to say and what you ought to be thinking about. Hallowed be thy name. It's a heading. And then you pray according to the liberty that the Holy Spirit gives you. So that's perhaps a helpful way of looking at this prayer. They are headings, and we pray accordingly. And as we go through this prayer, and we won't go through all of it this evening, you will see that it does indeed give us a full range of topics to be included in our prayers. And all our prayers privately ought to be according to this pattern. And well, as I've just mentioned, I'm going to split this prayer into two. One part this evening and another part next Lord's Day evening, because, well, the prayer itself can be split into two sets of petitions or requests. There are six essential petitions in this Lord's Prayer. The first three concern the Lord and His glory and His kingdom. And the second three, commencing from verse 11, well, that focuses on our own needs, on the petitions concerning ourselves and our physical and spiritual needs. But the first three petitions, they concern the Lord and His glory and His kingdom. And we will look at these first three this evening. But before we get to the first petition, which concerns the name of the Lord, hallowed be thy name, well, the way in which we address the Lord is brought to our attention. The way in which we approach God in prayer, first of all, must be established. And that is in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven. That is the way we address God, even before we begin to make our requests known. Our Father, which art in heaven. Well, let's take our Father first. Our Father. These words of tremendous comfort, they give us great incentive to pray. When we read those words, Our Father, that ought to give us great desire to pray. These words tell us that when we come to the Lord in prayer, well, we're not coming to a stranger. We're not coming to somebody who does not know us. We're not coming to somebody who we cannot trust. This is our Father. So there is no need to be reluctant to come to the Lord in prayer. He is our Father. There's no need to hesitate. A child will not hesitate to come to his father. If you are a true child of God, well, look at the relationship between a child and his father. A child will always approach his father. He may not approach other people, strangers and so on, but a young child will always approach his father at all times, in all situations. He doesn't need to be in the mood, in a certain mood, to approach his father. He's not self-conscious in approaching his father. He's not lost for words in approaching his father. And yet, how often are we like that? We as believers. Sometimes we feel we have to be in a certain mood to pray. Sometimes we say to ourselves, we can't find the words. We don't know what to say. Is that how a child reacts to his father? Oh, I don't know what to say. I won't go to him. I'm not in the mood. That's not the relationship that we have with the Lord in prayer. When we remember these words, our Father, it tells us that we can come to the Lord in any situation. There is an easy relationship between the Father and the Son, and there ought to be nothing that prevents us from coming to Him. And so this address, it tells us of that access, that intimate access that we have to the Father through Christ the Son. And of course, well, I've mentioned already, this is really only applicable to believers. If you are not a believer, well, you can still pray, but it's not in the same way. God is still your Father in a sense, but only in the way that He's your Creator. And only in the sense that you will have to give an account to Him at the end of your lives. So He is a Father in that sense, but you don't have that intimacy with Him. You don't have that intimacy in prayer. You can have it if you want it. If you repent, if you have faith, there's nothing stopping you. If you seek the Lord earnestly, you can have that relationship. As a son has with his father, you can have that same relationship with God. There's nothing stopping you. But if you don't, well, then it's very different for you. But we pray that all those who are here who do not know the Lord, well, they will come humbly as children to God and cry out and ask the Lord to be reconciled to Him through Christ Jesus. Because that glorious relationship is there for you. So, our Father, tremendous words. We could say so much about them. It tells us so many things. It tells us that we won't be turned away when we come to the Lord in prayer. A father doesn't turn away his child. He is always there for us. He's always willing to help. He always knows what to do. Well, doesn't... A father in the eyes of a child, in a small child, they always know that their father knows what to do. In any situation, that's why they run to their father. Father, I'm hurt. They know that the father will know what to do. And that's the same when we come to the Lord in prayer. We come to the Lord, He will take charge of this situation. So many things we can bring out of just that one word. Our Father. But then we have which art in heaven, our Father which art in heaven. And this speaks to us of the greatness of God. Yes, we may have intimacy with God as a child does with his father, But remember, he is not your earthly father. He's not your earthly father. He's your father who is in heaven. So we must have reverence. I remember we went to a church when we were away on holiday a few years ago. It was in Mauritius. And we went to a church, and it was an English-speaking church. But it was way too informal in certain ways, and particularly in prayer. And I remember one young lady, when she got up to pray, instead of saying, "Our Father," instead of thinking about "Our Father which art in heaven," she addressed the Lord as "Dad," "Dad," in her prayers. That's way too informal. God is not our earthly Father. That's not how we address him. He is our Father which art in heaven. And it causes us to think about the greatness of God, about the holiness of God. Heaven, of course, is a holy place. So God himself is holy. He's not to be addressed lightly. He's a sinless, pure God, eternal light. When we reverence the Lord in that way, well, we understand who he is and where he is. Our Father who art in heaven. So this is to maintain reverence. There's intimacy, yes, but there's reverence also. We can't speak to God as though he were our next door neighbor. But when we read "Our Father which art in heaven," this also ought to give us longings for heaven. As believers, "Our Father which art in heaven," our Father, our dear Father, he is in heaven. Oh, how we long to be with him. How we long to be in heaven with our Father. Our Father, not on the earth, in heaven. We long to be there with him. It reminds us that this earth is not our home. Our Father is in heaven. This is not our home. We are just passing through. We are pilgrims, as it were. Our Father, our hope, our treasure, our hearts are in heaven. So even by saying these things, it ought to stir up all these longings within us. Our Father which art in heaven, oh, how I long to be in that heavenly home with him. Well, we all long to be with family. We all long to be at home with our loved ones. Well, when we read those words and pray those words, "Our Father which art in heaven," those same feelings ought to rise up in our hearts. Our Father which art in heaven. But we must come to the first petition, the first of the three. Hallowed be thy name. This is the first petition. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, well, really that means we honor thy name. Hallowed be thy name. And the name of God, well, it's not speaking about the literal name of God, Jehovah or Yahweh or the Tetragrammaton. But when we consider the name of God, really that's speaking about his nature. Not just his literal name, his nature, his character, what he's like. That's what we think of when we think of the name of God. Hallowed be thy name. Not just the literal name, but everything that God is. We extol the virtues of God, the attributes of God. This is how we begin in prayer. We give God thanks for everything that he is, his righteousness, his grace, his mercy, his wisdom, his power, his love, all those things. Cast your mind heavenward, as it were. Think of what God is like, and that will be a wonderful way to introduce your petitions, to begin in prayer. Hallowed be thy name. And well, you don't just celebrate the name of God and his attributes, but included in that, there's a great longing that everybody else would honor the Lord as well. We read in Psalm 107 and verse 31, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You see, that's somebody who's honoring the Lord. Hallowed be thy name. This is somebody who is hallowing the name of God, his glorious attributes, his glorious nature, and wishing that everybody knew these things. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hallowed be thy name. With thanking and praising the Lord for who he is. That is so important. That's a very valuable exercise. Oftentimes we just thank the Lord if he's done something good for us, if he's answered our prayers in some way, if he's provided for us in some way. And that's good, that's right. But it's better, I believe, to just praise God for all that he is. He doesn't need to give you anything more. Just praise God for all that he is, his nature and his attributes. That's enough to praise him for that. You don't have to wait until God has given you something and then you can pray and praise. Just praise him for all that he is, how glorious he is, how perfect and how marvelous. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So spend time in prayer, thinking about God and about his glorious attributes and all his mercy and grace and goodness toward you. So that's the first petition, and I have to move quite quickly through these. Hallowed be thy name is the first petition. Then the second request that we pray, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. The kingdom of God. Well, the kingdom of God, it has already come. Of course it has. We know this. The kingdom of God has already come in Christ. With the arrival of Christ, the incarnation of Christ Jesus, the kingdom of God. Well, that's what John the Baptist preached, that the kingdom of God is at hand because Christ had come. He is our king. He is the king of this kingdom. The subjects of this kingdom, well, they're us, all those who trust in him, all those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the subjects. He is the king. And of course, it is an eternal kingdom. But we must pray that the Lord's kingdom come, that people be added to the kingdom. These are the kingdom prayers. And these really must come first before our own personal petitions, before our own personal wants. We must pray that glory be added to the name of our God through souls being saved. Do you pray for these things? Do you pray that souls be added to the kingdom? Pray every Lord's Day, or when you get home at the end of a Lord's Day, you pray that souls will be added, all the preaching that's gone out from this place and churches around the land and nation. Do you pray that souls will be saved? This is the greatest way that God's name be lifted up and magnified, that men and women and youngsters repent and have faith. Thy kingdom come. That ought to be the foremost prayer in our hearts and upon our minds. Before we think of ourselves, dear Lord, thy kingdom come. We pray that people would have been moved and would have been saved, led to repentance and faith. That's what we ought to pray, that the Lord be king in the hearts of so many people. Thy kingdom come. That is what it truly means. Of course, it speaks as well about the kingdom that is to come, the new heavens and the new earth. And we pray for that also, that the Lord Jesus Christ will come quickly and bring an end to this world of sorrow and sin. Thy kingdom come. We desire the Lord's appearing. But in connection with that, well, let's come to the third petition. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Well, the will of God. In heaven, of course, in heaven the will of God is done perfectly. Everything in heaven is in submission to the will of God. All the angels, all the heavenly host, as it were, everything is in submission to God's sovereign will. And that is how we pray for things to be on earth. Really, this is a prayer of submission. A prayer of submission to God's sovereign will. And well, in verse 10, we've just spoken about thy kingdom come and about souls being added to the kingdom. Well, when we pray for souls to be added to the kingdom, we always pray that it be according to God's will. We don't ever murmur that one person is saved and another person isn't saved. It's according to God's will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I remember once having a conversation with a believer, but she had the wrong spirit. She was very angry. And she was very discouraged in her faith because her grandmother had passed away. And she knew that her grandmother never knew the Lord. And she thought that was very unfair. How can God do this? How can God save me and not my grandmother? But this is going against the spirit of these words, of what we pray. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We are to be at peace with the will of God in election, predestination, and so on. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Who are we to question? We know that God's will is right. God's will is best. And of course, not just concerning those lofty doctrines of election and predestination. We think about our own lives. Of course we do. Our own lives. We submit our own lives to the will of God. You pray, O Lord, may thy will be foremost in my life. Not my will, not what I want, my goals, my ambitions, my dreams. Lord, I want thy will to reign over me. Help me to be at peace with thy will. Help me to submit to thy will. Help me to know that thy will is best. And well, we know that the Lord can sometimes lead us into dark and difficult places and great trials and tribulations. We have a tremendous hymn, do we not, in our hymn book? Thy way, not mine, O Lord, however dark it be. But that is the will of the Lord. It leads us into dark places. And we know that's best. That is the best way for us. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I trust in you, dear Lord. Wherever you lead me, it is the right way. This is how we come to the Lord in our prayers. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. His will is right. There is no fault. He can make no mistake. And so we submit ourselves perfectly to the will of God. Well, these are the first three petitions I've gone through very quickly, but let's just recap as we come to a close this evening. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, says the Lord. Our Father speaks of access and love and intimacy. Don't ever be afraid to come to the Lord in prayer, which art in heaven. We revere him. And we honor him, hallowed be thy name. We thank the Lord for all that he is. Thy kingdom come, we pray those kingdom prayers. And thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. These are our petitions. We acknowledge God's sovereignty and God's power. And we submit ourselves to him. That is the spirit we come to when we come to the Lord in prayer. Well, may these things be a blessing to us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank Thee for this facility that we have in prayer. And dear Lord, we thank Thee that we come to Thee, our Father, who not only hears us but cares for us and loves us and always leads us in the right way, the best way for us. Thou art our Father, which art in heaven. O Lord, we thank Thee. Help us to increase in our love for Thee. Help us to draw nearer unto Thee through prayer, daily prayer. O dear Lord, bless us and continue to lead us in every way. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen.